Omega Man Radio has been commissioned to invade deep into enemy territory, drive out the hosts of hell, and take back the land. Our mission is to preach Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the only name written under heaven by which men might be saved. Cast out demons and pray for the sick that they may be healed in Jesus' name. If this program is a blessing to you and you would like to take part in this harvest of men's souls, join with us and attack the hosts of hell by donating any amount online at www.omegamanradio.com.
Are you ready?
Ready to take a ride. Grab your coffee
and strap yourself in.
If you listen, we can hear God's plan.
Because the show is about to begin. You're listening. You're listening to the Omega Man Radio Network.
Gentlemen, let's do a sound check. Professor Tom, how you doing?
I'm here.
All right, how's the audio sounding for you?
You're sounding great. 5x5, as Major Baird would say it.
All right, Major Tom, how you doing?
Yes, the same, 5x5.
Okay.
And your picture is very crisp.
Okay, fantastic. All right, everybody, welcome aboard. We're going to kick off the Monday broadcast. Monday, September 12th, 2022. Happy birthday to Mama Narita. And yeah. She turns 39 today. I robbed the cradle, by the way. Praise the Lord. That's a good thing, though. Praise the Lord. That's the kind of thievery you are able to do. You can rob the cradle. It's okay. Everybody, welcome aboard. We're going to get started tonight. We got Major Tom and Professor Tom here in the house. Gentlemen, would you like to open us up in prayer?
Go ahead, Tom.
Yes, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we call upon you to come against the principalities, powers, and forces of evil, wickedness, and darkness in high places. We call upon you to bind them and to cast them out and remove them from out of the areas of each home, each place, each business that is viewing and listening to this program. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody, welcome aboard. We'll jump right on in. Gentlemen, I'm going to turn the mic over to you.
Okay, well, I was going to say, did you have any questions? You know, we've had some interesting events this past week, and I don't know if some of you might have questions.
Well, if you do, I was going to say for the audience out there, just post them in the chat room. What about you, Major Tom? You got any comments on what's been going on this week in the world?
Well, we see the acceleration of evil. It is quite apparent that Satan has been kicked out of heaven, and he's here on earth right now. And he's in a rage, knowing that his time is short. In fact, it's 42 months from the 21st of March, 2021, if you want to know the date when he came in. That's from Dr. Pigeon, Stephen Pigeon, by the way, and his calculations. Nevertheless, we see the Lord taking those that are innocent and those that are righteous out of the way, and we count it not that he is saving them from having to go through these times. Now, for those of us that are still remaining here, we have a mission to do. And to make it clear, we are to do exploits of righteousness for God. And the only way we can do that is be that. With God, not on our own strength, but on God's strength. And in his righteousness, his power, and his authority. We also have seen last night and this morning an acceleration of events in the Ukraine conflict. It was going on a very steady keel according to their stated objectives and plan that they had disclosed early on when they first started, which was to eliminate the Ukrainian army and denazify the land and to protect the Russian portion of the population, ethnic portion. Yeah, you can just say Russian-speaking people. Yeah, it'd be good. The one that'll get it the best. And they have abided by that. It's been directly, I'm sure, by the authority and command of President Putin himself, as he did in Syria when he began that process there, to the great frustration of most of his military commanders. And probably also because this is a special operation, military operation here, he outlined what the special portions of it and what it was. It's not an all-out war. There was not going to be any attack on infrastructure for the civilians, only on the army itself. Well, that changed last night. Well, yesterday and today.
Yeah, they started taking out.
They sent cruise missiles in.
Taking out power plants.
They took out the power plants. And one of the things you got to remember is that the railroad trains that run between locations are electric. And when you shut the electricity down, the movement of troops from this salient up in the north, because they were going to move a whole bunch of troops on down to the south again, they got caught, and their trains were stranded full of troops, and they were taken out. It happened first yesterday, and then it happened a little bit this morning, which means it's continuing. It's something that time will tell how extensive that deviation from that plan will be. We have a condition right now where the entire West is emboldened and in great bravado over the rapid 100-kilometer area of encompassing that the Ukraine army was able to do, simply because it was actually vacant. The Russians had been evacuating that area for the last 3 weeks, and they were almost done, but not quite. They had to, the last phase, they had to accelerate, but they were far enough along. They did everything in an orderly manner in the last 3 days. So it looks like a great event. The only problem is once the troops were out in the open, that's when the long-range Russian artillery began to do its work, and it cost them 2,500 to 3,000 killed. That's a heavy loss. And the assaulting Ukrainian army was only 15,000 to begin with. So that's a heavy, heavy price to do.
Yeah, you're talking 20%.
And not ever make hardly make contact. Yeah, yeah. So that's happening at this point in time. We're at a pivot point there. we still have the openly stated objective of all Western governments calling themselves democracies after the one world government. But anybody that's in the one world government is not a democracy to begin with, not even the United States. And you got to know that. You got to put that in your mind and remember it. Nevertheless, the stated objective was to destroy Russia. And Russia has heard that and heard it loud and clear. So if Russia wants to blunt and block that particular objective from the United States and Great Britain and France and the EU and on and on, they are going to have to take appropriate action and take it rapidly. So will they do it? I don't know.
Well, I think they have too many energy needs.
I don't know what
they have too many energy needs. The Germans are already starting to back off on it and starting to realize we need to keep our factories going and our workers working. And that isn't going to happen if we don't have energy.
Well, except, their energy minister, I can't remember his name now in Germany, but he said he didn't care how hard it was going to be. He was going to put a cap on the gas and the oil from Russia. Well, guess what? They have no gas or oil coming from Russia. So what are you going to put a cap on? It's already started. It's already, that's already in place. They are going to be without completely as soon as the underground reserves that were there only for continuity of the event of a down turbine or something like that. That's all that was for. It wasn't a backup
supply.
Supply? No, it wasn't and isn't. And they're going to, so they'll run out of that fairly quick here within the next 60 days.
And I guess they've been calling over here, calling over the United States asking for some. Well, Joe capped all the oil wells, capped all the gas wells. Oh, dear.
Yep.
And they have none. You just can't uncap them. It takes about 6 months to uncap a well and get it working again.
You know, I've lost track of how many billions we've given them. Seems every other day we're giving them a new package of aid. Look, if we put that billions of dollars on our school system in America, what we could have done for our kids or security at the schools.
Well,
it's like a black hole.
Well,
over there. Where's it going?
It is. It is. Yes, yes. And the problem is that thank goodness it's going to Ukraine and not there. And the reason I say that is because it's not what good they could do for our schools. It's what orientation they can get our kids into.
Absolutely. And,
that's what we'd use it for.
That, of course, is with a caveat. I wouldn't put my kids in a public system today if my life depended on it. But
no.
I'd homeschool them first, but the point I'm making here is so many billions of dollars being thrown down the Ukraine hole.
Yes.
I think it's going into somebody's pocket or a Swiss bank account.
Well, yes, yes.
Well, one, it's going in the politicians' pockets, and
it's
two,
coming back into the
Yeah, and two,
it's going into the politicians' pockets.
It's going into the. They're selling all the equipment to whoever wants to buy it and is willing to pay the money. We've seen it on the dark web where they're selling. In fact, I saw one saying that one of the HIMARS is on sale on the dark web.
You know,
exactly.
The government,
and
the government just spends an unlimited amount of money. They just created of nothing. There is nothing backing it. I don't really think they need to take taxes anymore. Why don't they just print more money for themselves? is worthless anyway. This is all a sham.
It is.
Yeah, next couple of weeks we're going to talk about what could be happening in the next month or two. But I don't quite want to talk about it yet. Mm-hmm. I've seen one German video that came out that popped a date. I won't say the date. But I don't think the guy knew what he was talking about. He sounded like he did, but there was a couple of things there that concerned me, and so
now
I have to go back and do my own math and my own studies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do you think of Brother Mac and Brother Baird about all these reports that Russia's in retreat and Ukraine is taking back the land? Something doesn't sound right here. If Ukraine can defeat Russia, then Russia was a paper lion. I don't buy this. Or do you think that Russia is about ready to drop a nuke over there and end the whole thing? Oh, and also Russia has run out of weaponry they're having to buy from North Korea.
No, they won't need to drop a nuke, but still. Yeah, no, Russia has not run out of any weaponry lately. They have probably millions of artillery projectiles that are there. They're not tied their both hands behind their back because they said, we will operate with the National Guard, essentially the military that is there in those two provinces. We aren't even using Russian troops on the infantry side at this point in time. It's all Russian speaking
local militia. It's all
local militia. Yeah.
One news agency.
The artillery is Russian, and that's about it.
One news agency said Russia is so desperate for soldiers, they're taking people off the street that are homeless and inscripting them.
That's
a fabrication, a total fabrication.
They've been saying that since the war started. One of the things you have to be careful of in this war, the Ukrainian media has no problem selling us falsehoods. We saw the ghost of Kiev. That turned out to be fake. We talked about, there was a couple other miraculous things that were happening for them in Ukraine. Suddenly, falsehood. And we're at this place right now where you cannot trust anything that comes out of the Ukrainian media because they have lied so many times. And now you're stuck.
Well, yeah, exactly. And of course, it's a false narrative that's been fed to them by the government of the United States. And they, of course, didn't take very much prompting for them to pick up on it, and they embellished it. So we have one side that's living in a fairy tale land, United States and the Western allies, and then we have another group of nationalities that are actually living in reality, and that's Russia, China, India, and BRICS.
I hate to say it, but I would like to see America taught a lesson so that some of the jackasses running the news media will be thinking twice before they put this propaganda crap up on the TV screens. A lot of people believe it. They believe that Russia is a wimp, has no real power, and they can easily be taken out by somebody like Ukraine, who's never had really a world-standing army of any honorable mention. Not to say they haven't been in wars.
They just have a lot of troops.
Yeah. But you can take out a lot of troops real quick with a bomb.
They are actually...
Not to say that they're not fighters, but for me to believe the narrative that Ukraine is putting Russia into retreat and they're running back to Moscow with a tail between their legs, come on, that's total BS. What do you think?
Yeah, it is. It is. It is.
You have to, the thing to understand hopeism. About Russia.
Just like communism, it's hopeism.
Yeah. The thing you have to understand about Russia, they are chess players. If they're retreating, you better be careful. Because if you walk into that vacuum they've created, you may be greeted by artillery that will make you think you're in hell. And that's what happened to the Ukrainians last night. I saw a report from Colonel McGregor.
Well, yes. Exactly.
And they just, you know, you got to be real careful. If you make a move, you got to make a move that the Russian will not anticipate. And that's not easy because those guys have already thought everything out 15 moves in advance. That's how they play chess, and that's how they play war. And that's why the Germans couldn't defeat them. And that's why the French couldn't defeat them. And that's why the Austrians couldn't defeat them. It should start to make you think that maybe you gotta, if you're going to play with Russia on a war front, you're going to have to come up with a completely different way to do it than what we've been doing.
Let me ask you, gentlemen, something with regards to where we are right now. Month-wise, we're at September 12th. Yesterday was the anniversary of September 11th. And I was playing some broadcasts that had covered the 911 story from different angles. And there was one I was watching yesterday. It was about a CIA agent whistleblower that was put in jail under the Patriot Act, and it took her 5 years to fight her way out, get her life back. But she told a different story about how 911 went down, and cut to the chase, she said the American military wanted to go to war again. And while Saddam Hussein was willing to cooperate, bottom line is we wanted to go over there and invade. And she's of the opinion that that's exactly what happened. We knew about potential terrorist attacks, but we facilitated. We actually brought down the towers. Our own crews went in there and set thermite charges.
Well,
and built the impetus, you know, for going to war again.
Yes. Yes. You know, I'm familiar with demolitions from the military because we were trained in it as officers. And what I saw was a controlled demolition. Did you notice that at each floor there was a puff, 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 puff,
That's right.
puff? It was a timed explosion. Those were planted explosives that were there that took down those towers. The fire itself would never have brought that tower down.
Absolutely.
It was a demolition.
Thermite vaporized those steel girders into liquid, not vaporized, but melted it.
Yes, exactly.
The point I'm making is
that will not do that.
Yep, that's right.
She said
I've worked with jet fuel, and you don't get that effect with it. Jet fuel, plants will grow in
with fuel.
The belief was that the government was unsuccessful in 93 with the little bomb that was set off over there that killed about six people at the World Trade Center. Wounded a lot, though. They were unsuccessful in getting this anti-terrorism bill passed. And so they pulled one that would make sure they get every bill that they wanted passed through and get the American support to go to war for the next 20 years. So, you know, we get Patriot Acts 1 and 2. We get a war that's been going on for 20 years. She was basically saying the CIA and the DIA and in the White House wanted to go to war. Could that be where we're at today? Is the Pentagon itching to go back to war, and we need an excuse to get involved? Do we really have some people that they think that we could beat Russia at this point, or is it a different angle? We're letting the Ukraine wear them down. What's going on here?
Well, this is really fascinating. I'm glad you asked that question, because no, the military is not ready to go to war. In fact, they're the ones that are trying to dig their heels in, slow down, slow down, slow down. However, the neocons that are involved in the State Department, in the CIA, NSA, and the military are the ones that are pushing it. They're the hawks that want the war, and their voice is always the loudest and always the one that pervades. So as you watch this, you watch the acceleration of these forces back and forth, and that's what you're watching right now. And so the administration itself is the one that is pushing it so hard. Unfortunately, they're pushing it at a time when we have just depleted all of our war reserves. We don't have any ammunition left. We don't even have the amount of
we got machinery. Artillery rounds for about 2 weeks.
That's it. If we used it as much as they do, they fire off 6,500 rounds every day. We have enough for about 5 days at most.
I think we're cruising for a bruising.
Yes. It's judgment time.
Do you think it'll be like ancient Israel? They disobeyed the Lord and disobeyed the prophets that warned the king and the country to repent, so God brought the Babylonians against them?
Yes.
Well, we first had the Assyrians.
And before that, the Assyrians.
Kingdom.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then we have the Babylonians for the southern kingdom. But then we get Daniel in Babylon. He's pretty much a high official in the Babylonian government. But he reads Leviticus 26 one night, and he sees that if they don't repent, that punishment won't be 70 years, as Jeremiah said it would be. It would be 490 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we get the 70 weeks prophecy. And basically what Daniel was told is, sorry, but you're going to get the full punishment, the 490 years. So even though they went back,
that's right,
to the promised land, they were still under Persian rule the entire time. It was only the Maccabean revolt, which didn't last very long, that they were ever self-ruling. And the Maccabees were not true Jews either.
Speaking of Daniel,
that's right,
he survived right at ground zero Babylon, but didn't they geld him? Is it likely that they lopped his balls off, made him a eunuch when they took him into slavery?
I've heard that story, but it's not stated in the book of Daniel that they did that.
But typically, they wouldn't bring young men of a foreign country into the palace. They might jump the bones of some of the queen's consorts. So they usually made him eunuchs.
Well, that's if they were in charge of the harems, but...
True.
Daniel
saying, though,
and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were not in charge of women. In fact, they turned out to be political heads. Daniel, effectively the prime minister, And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego apparently went to out in the provinces and ruled there.
I wonder how Biden would feel if they grabbed Hunter and lopped his balls off.
I'm not going to comment.
By the way,
something's too wrong.
Are those three laptops going to surface at any time? I'm just curious. What happened to them?
They're still there. Yeah. The FBI has them.
And they'll never do nothing with them.
At least not as long as that administration's in there.
Folks, we're live with Tom Mack, Tom Baird. It is a time to pray. It'd be a horrible thing to be taken captive and be turned into a eunuch. And I have heard, too, that the plan of the Chinese is to invade America, and their million-man army have been promised wives of any they'd like to take them Americans. Folks, you better pray hard, or your next child may be called Yang Zhu if the communist Chinese have their way. They would like to invade America, take over the breadbasket, and take the women folk.
You know, the only thing that's preventing it right now is they got too many economic problems in their own country. And they're hurting for money, too. That's why they're making all these deals with Russia.
And you think that could
with
be
India.
Could that be an impetus for attacking America? They have to.
Not really, because they need supply.
No.
Hannibal said the best way to kill an army is not to keep it supplied. So,
yeah,
they'd like to.
That brings us right down to.
But they can't.
While we're talking about this, yeah, as we're talking about this, it brings us right into the topic that we have for tonight, because all of this is being orchestrated by ancient evil.
There you go. Yeah,
and we need to know what we're coming up against, because by next week, Monday, we may not be able to. It's that quick. It could be that quick.
In fact, I've...
Go ahead, Tom.
...thought about we maybe need to see if Shannon can get us another program. But that's because things are getting so tight. And as we do ancient evil, I have to put this fair use notice on here because I'm going to run some videos tonight. That's why I couldn't put it in the slides section, Shannon. It's because it's too big. I got too many videos embedded in this thing.
As you're preparing to go into this presentation, welcome aboard, folks. We're live with Professor Tom Mack and Major Tom Baird. I do want to say one more thing. And that is the most imminent threat I perceive we may be about ready to have is a massive earthquake. There was a huge one that just hit Papua New Guinea.
Mm-hmm.
That's not far from where I'm at. And I've already warned my wife. I said, get a go bag ready. We may have to walk out of here with nothing but what we had prepacked. I do believe a massive quake is about ready to hit. And it will unleash hell on the earth. Tsunamis, volcanic eruption. Someone said they felt one in Georgia, for goodness sakes. I expect the Ring of Fire to get hit. But I've told my wife, I said, prepare, because we're right over here. And that one happened not too far. That's my prediction. Massive earthquake coming very quickly. Back to you, gentlemen. Take it away.
Okay. But as I said, I wanted to put this disclaimer up here before we started. Because I'm going to start with a quote from Emmanuel Velikovsky. He wrote a very interesting book called Worlds in Collision. My friend Olaf Hagee told me about it, and I read it. It's not an easy read, I will tell you that right now. He's a Jewish Russian doctor, and he had some very interesting perspectives on how we came to be, and It's interesting reading, but you better be academically trained or it's going to be very hard for you to understand. Also, he expects you to have a rather good biblical knowledge. And that's not always going to be the case here. That's why we do some of these, is to try to get people up to a better level of biblical knowledge. But the thing is, let's go back to that. Let's read that. Here begins homo ignoramus. He does not know what life is, or how it came to be, or whether it originated from inorganic matter. So let's hope this video is going to work here. Do I have to do?
Check your volume level, Tom Mac, if you've got audio playing.
Yeah, we got the video. The audio is not coming through.
Look at that audio icon, Tom Mac, at the bottom of your PowerPoint in the lower left-hand corner.
Yeah.
All the way to the left. Next one. Oh, wait a minute. No, that's a left. I thought that was audio button. Okay.
Can you hear it or not?
No.
No.
It's very faint.
Okay. Oh, I see. Now let's try it.
No, it's still very faint.
Very faint.
I don't know what the fix is for them.
I have an idea here.
Unless it's on your sound settings.
Yeah, that's where I'm going.
That's better. Getting there. Can you get it up anymore?
Yeah, I just did.
Try Max.
I just did. It's 98%.
Okay.
That is the most important
internet
question
connection
facing
established.
Mankind today. What is the origin of the human species? Did man evolve over a long period of time, or did God... As a matter of fact, evolution is a theory developed by man to explain human existence. There. Now it's alive. Time is the magic wand of evolution. Give this enough time and we have a whole new species. Birds, trees, even termites. Evolution requires that we believe in time. But what if time isn't real? Albert Einstein asked that question. The theory of relativity obliterates our human notion of time. Everyone has a belief system. Since we weren't here, we have to believe that we evolved over a very long period of time. Biblical creation maintains that God created everything in 6 days. At this time next week, presto, a whole new world. Both evolution and creation play with time. Most of us have some kind of timepiece wrapped around our wrist. Don't be fooled by time. Where's the truth? Billions and billions of years Scientists in Israel claim that all of human history was coded into the Torah before human history even began. Other scientists say this is crazy. Who's right? Why the battle of ideas? Does time exist? Were we created? Did this body just evolve from the primitive to the complex? This is the most important question facing us. Do we have a soul or not? Will it live forever? Or will it die?
That came from The Code Conspiracy.
That's a great movie.
Did you ever finally watch it?
Oh, yeah. You sent it to me, and I watched it. It's been hard to find.
Yeah. Well, some of it is my story. So let's talk about the origins of humanity. We go to Genesis 1. Get down there to 26, because we have to create everything else first. And Elohim said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So Elohim created man in his own image. In the image of Elohim created he him. Male and female created him them. Interesting, you get to chapter 2 and suddenly the terminology changes. And Yahuwah Elohim. We know it's now our Heavenly Father. Not any of the angels who apparently helped in this process. And Yahuwah Elohim formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We now have mind, will, and emotions. And suddenly this soul is going to be the battleground, because we can keep it and live a fulfilled life. But ancient evil would like to take that away. But we'll get to that later. But not only does it go through how man came to be, but how did woman come to be? And Yahuwah Elohim said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." And Yahuwah Elohim caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Notice he took a rib, not a foot, not a head. He took a rib because woman is made to stand with her husband. And the rib which Yahuwah Elohim had taken from man, he made a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Interesting, he says that there, because his father and his mother was Yahuwah. So it's interesting he says that. It's a prophecy. And now we're going to see the beginning of evil. And out of the ground made Yahuwah Elohim to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of all life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Let's go to chapter 3. Go to verse 5. We're going to start seeing the sales job. And this is the serpent. And the serpent, remember, this is not a serpent. He's not a snake at this point. That was his punishment later on. What he was a very good-looking creature, probably very attractive, very, very cunning, subtle, the Bible uses the word. You better be careful of him. And what does he say? For Elohim doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be like Elohim, knowing good and evil. Want to stop here for a second? Beware anytime someone says that you can be like God. Doesn't matter whether it's a prosperity preacher, Mormons, when they offer say that you can become God, beware. That is not mankind's place. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. Just like usual, guy just does what she says and off they go. And the eyes of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So first thing we got to sort of clarify here, Satan is not mentioned until the 359th chapter of the Bible. So, what is pushing the serpent? And that's where we've started to realize that there is an evil that is deeper than Satan. In fact, one of the things I put on the ancient-evil.org website is a thing, or it's a event that happened in 1963 when the Catholic Church officially sold itself out to the devil. I will only mention it in passing. Go to the website and read it. They called it summary evil on there. But the thing to understand, ancient evil is a spiritual being. But rather than me do it, I will let Richard Burton explain it to you.
No sound.
Yeah, I'm not hearing anything, Professor Tom.
Oh, dear. Well, basically what Richard Burton is explaining there is that they're up against ancient evil. He doesn't use Satan. It's very interesting.
You might have to adjust volume on each of the videos, just like you did before.
Well, let's...
I will say you do a great job putting together the PowerPoints.
I've never done my first PowerPoint. Looks like it'd be a very difficult job. You got to lay it all out. We're live with Tom Mack and Tom Baird. Talk about ancient evil. When you say ancient evil, are we really talking about Satan?
It goes deeper than Satan, even. Turns out...
It's the motivation for Satan.
Yes. It's the power that gives Satan power. And but here's an interesting thing. When we study the serpent, you know, we still need to do that infinity code program sometime. But I looked up Nachash, which is Hebrew for serpent. It has a value of 355. And I started hunting some of these Hebrew words, getting their values, and starting to study what they mean. And sometimes the Bible will tell you that. Let's go to the 355th chapter. It's 1 Chronicles 13. And it's a major decision in the history of Israel. David has decided, or is deciding whether he wants to bring the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. And so who does he ask? Does he inquire of Yahuwah? No. He calls his captains. He calls his advisors. What do you think? And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. Well, suddenly they have a disaster. One of the Levites, or one of the people, when they were moving the ark, tried to touch it when they weren't allowed to. Only a Levite can touch the Ark of the Covenant. And he died. So suddenly, David is sitting in his house, and in comes Nathan the prophet. He's probably David's closest advisor. And David said to Nathan, "Lo, I dwell in a house of cedars, but the Ark of the Covenant of Yahuwah remaineth under curtains." Then David said, or then Nathan said unto David, "Do all that is in thine heart, for Elohim is with thee." And it came to pass the same night that the word of Elohim came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell David my servant, thus saith Yahuwah, thou shalt not build me a house to dwell in. For I have not dwelt in the house since the day I brought up Israel unto this day, but have gone from tent to tent and from tabernacle to another, one tabernacle to another." Gee whiz, we're not... So what was the thing to remember? Yahuwah was not consulted in any of these cases. And two, the Torah never specifies that the tabernacle is to be placed inside a temple. Had David consulted Yahuwah in the first place and not waited for Nathan to have to be told, he would have been told why he could not build a temple and what he could do to prepare his descendants to do it. And two, the Ark of the Covenant should only be moved when Yahuwah specifies it. When Joshua brought the Ark of the Covenant into the Promised Land, he took it to Bethel, literally the house of God, or house of El. And it stayed there until the house of Eli took it to Shiloh. And then in 1 Samuel 4, they were having trouble with the Philistines, so they thought, this will fix it. We'll take the Ark of the Covenant to the battle, and we'll win. Well, they took it to the battle at Ebenezer and lost. And the Philistines had the Ark of the Covenant for a while. And, well, the Philistines didn't do very well with it. They kept getting plagues no matter where they took it in their cities. So they just gave it back. And after Saul died and David established the kingdom, he brought it. He was going to bring it to Jerusalem, but it didn't get there. It stayed at the house of Abinadab. And it stayed there a few months. And Abinadab did very well by himself. So later on, it went to Jerusalem, but I got a feeling Abinadab wasn't happy about it. But again, let's go back to Genesis for a minute. Life is a matter of choices. In fact, we're just about done here, so let's finish on this. Going to do almost a little altar call type thing. Life is a matter of choices. And as we finish this tonight, you have a choice. Are you going to eat of the tree of life, allowing Yahuwah to make your choices? Or are you going to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, where you can set up your own set of ethics? So your choice, will you follow Yahuwah? Or will you make your own determination as to what is good and what is evil? And I'm going to warn you, if you make your own determination, that determination will be defective. It's going to be wrong at some point in time. So, as we close tonight, I would say to you that we need to pray tonight. Heavenly Father, in the name of Yahushua HaMashiach, we come before you and we confess that we have followed the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and tried to do what is right in our own eyes. But Heavenly Father, tonight we make a different choice. We want to eat of the tree of life and have a full life. We ask you to help us to do this. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Gentlemen, so, we didn't get enough time for you to bring this full presentation of Ancient Evil. Brother Mac, I was just looking at the schedule. I've got 9 p.m. your time just about every night of the week. For a night, you want to come back and just go straight through it. We'll make time for you, no worries. When we get together, we tend to hit some of the news also. There's so much going on. We'll make extra slots for you. Before we close, though, folks, you can look at the screen. And for those that can't, give out your contact information.
It's right there. It's tom.mack@whitestonefoundation.org. And all my websites are there and all my books. And as for Major Baird, there's his websites and there's his books. And I would say to people tonight, get the sharp edge of the sword. You may not have much more time to get it. So it's not priced high, so you can order it. It's on Amazon.
And friends, if we're as late in this thing as we think we may be, people should not take time for granted anymore.
Amen.
I heard a
man said, yeah, go ahead.
As you're doing the program, I heard something crank up outside. I've got paper thin windows. And it sounds like a weed whacker on turbo mode. And I dread that sound because of what has happened to me 3 times already. Sprayed. Someone gets this fogging machine. It looks like a big weed blower, except it's got a unit on the side with a chemical. And they will come through at will and fumigate entire blocks. And this smoke is so thick, it just pervasive. It just comes right through your drains, comes through the house. And 3 times I've had to run down and try to stop up the drain before this chemical got into the house. It's like germ warfare. And it puts me on edge. You never know when it's going to happen. Pisses me off. But we don't know what's going to happen next, folks. You're not going to get a lot of warning. And we've got a government right now that pulled the Trade Center down on 3,000 people, squashed them. People are jumping out of the fours, hitting so hard, Willie Rodriguez said they were making dents in the concrete and their bodies exploding, trying to escape the flames. Set by Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, CIA, Pentagon, who had no problem sacrificing 3,000 people to put us into the war. And they've done it again with COVID-19. This time, the new 911, but on a global scale. I'm of the opinion that they launched a brute force power grab on the planet using the flu, which they repackaged. I'm not worried about the flu. Be worried about their cure. Killed millions. All under the guise of the Great Reset. Queen Elizabeth has died. Her son, who's definitely part of the agenda, has taken the throne. That's probably just going to expedite things as far as UK is concerned. And he was just at the World Economic Forum meeting last year, or earlier this year in January, whenever it was. You saw him give the speech, Klaus Schwab and all these other people. These people are preparing to pull something else. I really believe that. They want to stop Trump at all odds, at all costs, rather. If really he had something he shouldn't have had, then they should have taken it earlier this year, instead of telling him to put it in a closet with a lock. What's the point? If you saw something that he wasn't supposed to have, why didn't you take it then? Why? Because they're just looking for another excuse to grill him and drag this thing out. I don't believe he's guilty of anything anyway, but just saying. It's just to add more fuel to the fire. They want to stop him from getting back in. And honestly, I don't believe he's going to get back in. And I'll tell you why. Before the communists in power allow that, I believe they would pull another false flag. They've done it before. We got the same jack bastards, whatever that means, but I think it fits what I wanted to describe them as, in power. Why would they change now? It is their nature. They're connected to ancient evil. These people are wicked to the core, and they have no problem sacrificing you and I. You can hire a Colombian hitman, usually a youth, a sicario, for around $10 to whack somebody, to murder them in the streets of Medellin. And they just think it's just, you know, just like taking a bodily function. No big deal. Get my $10. I took care of that hit. These people have no problem taking out thousands, even millions. And they have. They've been successful. And I really believe that, gentlemen, before they would let Trump get back in, because that would be the end of them. This time, I don't think he'll ever make it. If they don't get him put in jail, they will pull a false flag, or worse yet, maybe Russia and China will hit us first. And this thing isn't going to give you much warning, just like that earthquake just the other day in Papua New Guinea. It'll come suddenly and without remedy. We better know Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. It may be too late.
Amen.
Later on, if you put it off till tomorrow, he's the only hope we got. And every time I hear that buzz cranking up, I know someone's going down some alley fumigating. Thank God it stopped, because I went out there to confront them. There would have been a confrontation. They're not coming back and spraying my yard again. I literally had gas coming up out of the drains, gentlemen, a thick white cloud. I had to wash everything in my kitchen. Don't know what's in that pesticide. Don't know. Probably cancer carcinogen. Yesterday,
are they still using DDT up out there?
I wouldn't be surprised. They use everything else here. This seems to be a dumping ground for whatever they can't sell in other countries. They're still using saccharin over here. They use the worst possible everything over here because it's cheap and it can be sold. And it's one of the most polluted places on the planet, Jakarta, the capital. You don't want to drink that water. Good grief. Well, and then I got to think about my friends and family back in America. They've got concentration camps for you. They didn't tell you that? Well, we've been warning about it for a very long time. I think we're going to see the red-blue list roundups like Al Cuppet talked about before he died. It's coming, folks. Ted Gunderson, I heard him and he's dead now. He said back in the 80s, one of the guys that I worked with in the FBI laughed. He said, we've got tabs on every patriot in America. And that was back then. Without the technology they have today, they know who their enemies are. They know exactly where you're at. Thanks to all their Edward Snowden technology that he told us about 12 years ago. How far have they come since then? The only thing stopping these wicked people from really pulling it right now is we still have guns. That's why I think they got to still take those away first. Because you get enough people mad, especially rednecks from where I come from, we will fight back. And they're prepared for that. Sadly, we will be outgunned if they took the military against the populace. You think you can hide up in Idaho? They'll just drop nerve gas over there. You'll all be dead. There isn't any holdout except the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's hardcore what I just said. But that's where we are right now. We've got a rogue government taken over by fascist, communist, satanist. And they won't hesitate to do whatever it takes to maintain the power grip that they stole in the last election. Now you can put that in your pipe and smoke it. Any final words, gentlemen?
In the end, the Lord will prevail, even though it will be so severe that it will wear down the saints.
Yeah, we got that to look forward to.
I'm with Major Baird, and I'm trying to point to him.
War on the saints is coming. We will be worn out.
Amen.
Gentlemen,
Yahuwah prevails in the end.
Oh, yeah. Folks, just don't renounce Christ. You may lose your head, but we go on to be home and be with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't understand why it has to be that way. I know we will do exploits, but it is what it is. I don't make the rules. We have to remain patient and keep the faith. Gentlemen, I love you both. Thank you for coming on tonight. God bless you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us, yes.
And Brother Mac, let me know if you want any of those 9 p.m. Mountains, 11 Eastern.
I will have to...
Get back with me.
Because my son does programs, too. And
no
so
problem. Just let me know. They're on the table.
I have to check with him before I can do anything.
Okay.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to continue that program. Here we go.